What's going on, everybody, and welcome to episode 43 of the Mental Dive Podcast, where we talk anything and everything sports psychology and mental performance. I'm your host, Taylor Staden. So about a week ago now, I asked my Instagram and Twitter following this question: what is one lesson that you've learned from a coach of yours? And one that really caught my eye in particular was from S_FerrariWood on Instagram, where he said that failing is tolerable, but failing to try is not. And I think that's a really important message. One, mainly just being because all we can do, as cliche as it sounds, is to give our best effort. If we can honestly say to ourselves at the end of the day that we gave our 100% effort and that we left nothing on the table, then that in itself can provide a sense of fulfillment. That in itself is an accomplishment. But what is outside of our control, those outcomes that we strive to get, not achieving those is okay. Because it's not that we don't care about the outcome, but it's rather what you focus on. So if we get really, really caught up in the outcomes, that causes our sense of control to now be tied to something that is outside of our control. And that causes us to perhaps have our confidence be like a roller coaster, up and down, because we're attributing our self-worth and our overall value to something that is not within our control. So instead, we want to really shift our perspective onto something that we can control, something that we can take ownership over, that being our process. So thank you to Spencer FerrariWood for sharing. I really, really do appreciate that. If you would like to join the conversation, check me out on Instagram and Twitter at Taylor Staden. That's at TaylorStaden. Anyways, I have a great interview lined up for you all today with Gilbert Brulé. Gilbert Brulé is a professional hockey player. He was drafted 6th overall by the Columbus Blue Jackets in the 2005 NHL draft. And throughout the course of the podcast, we get into a bunch of different topics, some notable ones being some of the key lessons he took away from working with a sports psychologist, the importance of self-reflection, as well as what it meant to him to represent Team Canada at the Olympics. That's right, a Canadian Olympian on the podcast today. I am so pumped to share this one with you all. So without further ado, let's get into the dive. So today's guest has played a combined 299 NHL games with stints in Columbus, Edmonton, and Phoenix after getting selected 6th overall in the 2005 NHL draft. Leading up to the draft, he had a remarkable junior career with accolades including being the 2004 WHL Rookie of the Year, 2005 CHL Scholastic Player of the Year, 2006 WHL Champion, and so much more. In addition to this, he has played nearly 400 professional games between the AHL, Swiss League, and the KHL over the course of his 15-year professional career, most recently with the Kunlun Red Star. I'm pumped to be joined by Gilbert Brulé. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Good. No, thank you. How's the intro? I'm trying to get better at them. How's the intro today?
It was good. Yeah, I liked it for sure. Good. I had to kind of go back, and it's nice to be refreshed of some of those memories that I've been through.
So one thing I like to do with the podcast is I always like to take a step back and just ask you, what's your why? You know, what's your drive and what motivates you to play hockey and put up with all the adversities that come with it?
You know, ever since I was a kid, I've pretty much liked hockey. I've always kind of been into skating, and ever since I was 4 years old, that's basically when I started. So just going on about 30 years now, I've been playing hockey pretty well the whole course of my life. So as you got older and went to, you know, certain stages of hockey, I just started to realize that I'm really, you know, passionate about this, and that was the biggest thing. And super passionate. I love the games like a lot, and pretty much my whole life was became hockey at a certain point, at a certain age.
At what point during that, you know, journey as you, when you were growing up, did you realize this is something that you could perhaps do as a profession?
Yeah, I think it was probably around the ages of maybe between 15 and 18, let's say roughly, where I started playing junior A actually in Quesnel in the BCHL when I was 15 as an underage player with Carey Price. Actually, we both played on the same team that year.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, when the next year I ended up joining the Vancouver Giants in Major Junior for the Western Hockey League. And that's when, you know, I started to realize that hockey is kind of like becoming a big part of my life and in pretty like in a serious way, right? And kind of in a more professional matter, so to speak. So once I got into junior and started having, you know, the kind of success that I did have there, and, you know, obviously the NHL draft came around when I was 18, and, you know, I went through all the NHL combines and different meetings and interviews you have to do with teams and managers, and it was quite an extensive process that they do, but a very cool overall experience for sure for everyone that goes through it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when your junior A team has the 5th and 6th overall picks in 2005 NHL draft, you're probably a pretty good team, eh?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing team there. I can't say enough. We were pretty fortunate to be in that group together in Vancouver with a pretty few amazing years with hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I mentioned earlier, you had an incredible junior career. You know, first overall pick in the WHL draft. You know, CHL's Classic Player of the Year, and I could go on. What was this whole experience like for you? Just always seeming to succeed and experiencing this level of success so much at an early age. What did the impact of this have maybe on your confidence as you entered the NHL draft?
Yeah, that I think my confidence was pretty high, obviously, coming out of junior. You know, we won the Western Hockey League. I was the MVP of the Western Hockey League playoffs, and then we ended up going to the Memorial Cup. We didn't win the Memorial Cup that year, but I had a very good tournament personally myself, and I ended up being, I think it was the top scorer and on the first team All-Star in that tournament with a lot of good hockey players. So my confidence coming out of there was pretty high going into the NHL draft for sure.
Yeah. And then, so I guess now as you transition into your NHL career, you find yourself being a rookie and maybe not seeing the same amount of ice time that you've seen, you know, throughout your junior career. You're playing on the fourth lines, getting scratched a bit under Gallant. What was this transition like for you when you've always been the guy, quote unquote, and then suddenly get to the NHL level and you're experiencing some tough love from your coach?
Yeah. Actually, about Gallant there, the question is, he was actually really good to me when I first came there. And I actually got to play quite a bit when I first joined Columbus as an 18-year-old. And I was one of the top scorers on our team in preseason that year because he just kind of let me do my thing. He let me play. And then pretty shortly after that, we had a lot of, you know, issues with coaches being fired and managers, and the people that ended up bringing me to Columbus, right, that wanted me there, ended up leaving. So they brought in different people that I guess thought differently or had a different plan, I guess, in mind. So things definitely got a little bit harder, especially when Hitchcock came in, and I ended up playing on the fourth line mostly and playing sometimes, you know, 5 to 10 minutes in a game in a night, which is, you know, pretty hard for me when you're used to being like the go-to guy, like you said, when you're coming out of junior and you're playing, you know, 20 minutes or more a night sometimes, which is it was a big adjustment for sure. And that was the hardest thing I think I went through, especially for my confidence, because I definitely got, you know, lower and lower confidence over the couple of years I was there, and just things just didn't seem to fit and work well. And that definitely made it hard for me, for sure. Yeah.
Do you think part of that was just not really knowing how to adapt to a different role? Because obviously it's not as prominent now. The NHL has transitioned a lot more to a skill game, but at that time, I'm sure the fourth line is expected to bring a lot more, you know, sandpaper and a different element to the game, which you don't lack in your game, obviously, but it's not what you've always been accustomed to focusing on, per se.
Yeah, completely. You know, you're right. I was playing, you know, with guys like Jody Shelley, who are well-known fighters in the NHL, on my fourth line, you know, so I was kind of expected to bring some energy, like you said, and, you know, play kind of a physical game. And when you're entering the NHL as an 18, 19-year-old, you're not really physically developed like some of the other guys you're playing against, right? So it's, it was very tough, and I obviously had some, you know, injuries come from that too, so.
Yeah, it was your second NHL game where you had a broken sternum, correct?
I was going base for a puck against Roman Hamrlik of the Calgary Flames at the time. He's a pretty big defenseman.
Yeah,
I think he's around 220, 30 pounds. And I was, you know, probably 185, maybe 80 pounds.
Yeah.
So he hit pretty good against the boards, and I ended up breaking my sternum. And That was a pretty tough injury to sustain, because that was pretty devastating, and I was out for quite a while actually for that one. So
did that turn into a tailspin for you, or?
You know, I had a couple of pretty big injuries, but I think if you look over a lot of different players' careers, you know, that's kind of part of our job. You know, those things happen to a lot of guys here and there. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is how you come back from those injuries, right? Because sometimes, you know, freak accidents just happen. And that's kind of what happened, it felt like, with a couple of my injuries, you know. So, like, after I broke my sternum, I broke my fibula, like the small bone in my leg. And it was basically because I think about a week or two before I actually broke the bone, I think I fractured it by hitting someone, because we kind of just clipped legs almost. And basically, like a week of practice, I felt like I had like a bruised calf almost. And then like, I just fell normally on my knees in the game, and I heard my legs just snap. So it was like, I think it was already kind of broken in a way. It's just like, yeah, it was tough, because they're trying to like skate on it after. And it was like, yeah, definitely something's wrong here. So we got to fix this. And that's when I ended up going back to junior after that, those two injuries. So.
And then that led into your really strong playoff run for the Memorial Cup, correct?
Yes, that's the year I went back to Vancouver. We went to the Western Conference Finals, the Western Hockey League Finals, ended up winning the Western Hockey League, and then ended up going to the Memorial Cup in Moncton.
Yeah. Oh, right on. Okay. So like I mentioned, you know, you've experienced quite a few injuries throughout your career. And like you said, that's something that a lot of players have to do. How did you going through these injuries perhaps change your style of play? Did you ever notice that maybe you played less assertive because of a fear of re-injury, or what was that whole experience like for you?
I think when you first, you know, go through these kind of injuries, I think some of that that kind of doubt gets into your mind, where you're not sure, like, you know, how things are going to go or what's going to happen with your career. Or, you know, when you're getting injured in hockey, you know, there's other people that come in and take your place sometimes, and, you know, things can happen, and that's just the nature of the business, right? So you have these little things going through your mind all the time. But I was never, like, scared when I came back from injury, when I was playing, to, like, get hurt again. It was just, like, you don't want to re-aggravate an injury, because you want to keep playing, right? That's the biggest thing. It's not you're not scared to go back out there and get hurt. It's just, like, I just want to be healthy to keep playing, and that's the biggest thing. You don't want to re-aggravate, say, like, couple groin injuries I had last year, which were tough, you know, because we're playing hockey, your groin's a very important thing you got to use, right? So those were tough, you know. Some of those things can nag sometimes, and that can be tough for guys, but a lot of guys actually do battle through a lot of injuries and continue to play through those injuries, and eventually, you know, recover sometimes. And but a lot of people, you know, don't always see that, but it's definitely there for a lot of guys, for sure. It's a tough sport we play, right? So
Yeah. I mean, I didn't play at a high level at all, but even just at the lower levels, a lot of injuries are very, very prominent. But I think you brought up a really important point about guys maybe want to play through injuries, and because they don't want to lose their spot in the lineup. And that's something that's so unique to professional hockey, because when you're in youth, it's like, well, you're going to have your spot when you come back. But in pro, if you keep getting injured, or you aren't willing to maybe play through some pain, then it's going to come to a point where you're probably going to have your spot taken from you.
Yeah, it happens all the time. You know, I see it all the time. It's happened to me. It's happened to my friends. You know, it happens to a lot of guys. It's just part of, like I said, it's part of the business, and those things go on. I'm sure through a lot of pro sports, right? So.
For sure. So one thing I'd love to get into is you transitioning from North America to the KHL. Because in 2014, you retired from hockey for a bit. What made you come to this decision to want to retire and then eventually make a comeback, to what led to a successful and ongoing professional career in Europe?
It was kind of a tough transition. I was playing in the American Hockey League for Portland, the winter Portland Pirates at the time, and we were I was getting called up to Phoenix at the time, and I wasn't really getting to play a lot, and these teams in Russia were actually trying to contact me while all this was kind of going on. So I was kind of like, had this split decision in my head of, I don't know what to do, because you know, there's some good teams over there that offered me like a pretty good contract, and like, I obviously ended up going there eventually. I just think when I did take that little break, I just kind of needed a break to decide what I really wanted to do, and if I did want to move over there, because it is a huge decision, kind of pick up your life from North America and go live in Russia and since then I've lived in China as well too, right? So I'm super happy I did those things though, because I've got so much experience from traveling the world and seeing so many cool places that I've been, and that's been an awesome experience, you know, like that that is priceless to me, kind of in a way. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. What's been your biggest surprise from playing in Russia?
Like hockey wise, are you saying, or just living or anything pretty much?
Let's say hockey, unless there's something that really sticks out to you about the culture and living.
Well, it's definitely different, right? But it's, I like that, you know, when you learn new things, new cultures and different experiences and meeting new people, and I've learned some Russian, you know, different things. So that's been super cool to me. And, the hockey's been wonderful. Like, it's a great hockey league. There's a lot of good players in that league, very skilled, good hockey players that could probably play, you know, in the NHL. Some of them just choose to stay in Russia because that's their home country. But it's awesome. I mean, the hardest thing for me hockey-wise is probably just the traveling, because it's such a big country. The travel is very, very hard.
Yeah.
We're going through kind of Europe, Russia, and China a little. So it's, you know, we play in Finland. We play, like, it's huge. You're covering a lot of area to play. So that's definitely the hardest part.
Yeah, but like you said, you get to learn so much about different cultures and travel, and I'm sure it's an incredible experience in that way.
Yeah, it is for sure. And, you know, I was playing on the Kunlun Red Star last year, so we had quite a few North American guys on our team. Getting to experience that together is pretty cool in China and in Beijing. And, you know, when you go on to some of these other teams, when you're one of the fewer import players, you get to meet a lot of new Russian guys and learn a lot of stuff from them, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah. I think the KHL should expand to Greece, because there is no hockey here, man. It's tough sometimes.
Yeah, I think they're actually trying to expand to some other cities, honestly. But I've always heard in the past that they're trying to go to, like, London. But
that'd be sweet.
I don't know if that's ever going to work out. But
yeah, you know. But we're starting to see some good players come out of England. So it's nice to see the game growing that way. So at one point in your career, you had the opportunity to work with a sports psychologist to improve on aspects like, you know, your confidence and whatnot. Did you take any maybe key lessons away from working with a sports psychologist? And if so, what would they be?
Do you know a guy by the name of Saul Miller?
No, I don't.
He's like basically from North Vancouver, where I live here. I actually live outside of North Vancouver now, but where I grew up in North Vancouver, I've been working with Saul Miller basically since I was probably almost like around 10 or 11 years old. Just through like hockey camps on the North Shore, you know, with teams I've been, like they would bring him in for like a meeting so we can get to know like what, you know, what it takes kind of to become a pro hockey player and all these different aspects you need to bring into your life, right? So they were kind of teaching us that. And that's when I first met Saul, and he's got a couple of good books out. One of them's called Hockey Tough, and it's Mario Lemieux on the cover. Yeah, like a picture of Mario Lemieux, I think, is on the cover. But it's a pretty good book, and he just talks about kind of like changing your mindset and how that's such a big thing. And, you know, you want to – a big thing that I like that he does is he says that you should try to find like your sort of like spirit animal, like what's animal you kind of like think is your like, you know, attack mode or kind of like that thing. And I always liked wolves, so I said, you know, and hockey players would play like in like a pack, like a wolf pack, you know. So I kind of like that analogy of like always going into the game like thinking like a wolf, like I gotta hunt and I gotta eat right tonight, so I gotta do this, I gotta work hard, and I gotta do these things to get to those, you know, things with my teammates. So that's kind of how the mentality and things were. I could change little things like that, and change, like, instead of being so negative about saying, oh, why did I miss that shot, or why me and why this, and saying like, what is this teaching me and how can I do it better, right? And kind of changing mindset and saying like, next time I'll do it better, instead of saying like, oh damn, why did I miss that and that's not good. Being like, I'm in a little more positive mindset, right? I think, and those little things that always come in your mind, you could have many thoughts, it's important to control those and get the right thoughts in your head, right? So
that just speaks as well to the power of focusing on what you can control, but also self-reflection. One of the biggest things that hold not just hockey players, but a lot of athletes back is they don't want to think about their failures. Like, let's say they had a bad game. You get to the car. You know, we both had those talks with our parents, I'm sure, in the car. We don't want to talk about our bad game. But the thing is, it's so important to be able to properly reflect on our adversities, because like you said, that's how we learn. That's how we improve.
Of course. And one of the biggest like lessons I remember just when I was a kid, I remember my dad grew up, you know, we watched a lot of hockey together. We always watched, you know, Gretzky when he was with the Oilers when I was a little kid, just being born, and we always would rewatch those. And he says, you know, like they always talked about how they would walk by the New York Islanders dressing when they lost and how see like how much they sacrificed and how much pain and like how much more that it took, that they realized that it took to actually win the Stanley Cup. And like those kind of like the things I learned through hockey and little, you know, from that stuff too is very important lessons, right? Where you need to like see, you need to fail sometimes and you learn from those failures and then you're able to succeed in a much better way after that, right? So,
Yeah, absolutely. Because improvement isn't linear, right? We're always
yeah.
going to have our ups and our downs, but as long as you're trending in that upwards direction, that's really what matters. Really honing in on that process towards improving at whatever you really want to get better at.
Yeah, as long as you are learning from your mistakes and getting better instead of continually repeating them, because that's just insanity.
Yeah, driving coaches nuts too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So you had the opportunity to be in the Olympics. So you can officially call yourself an Olympian, which is an incredible achievement. And, you know, I'm sure it's a late congratulations on this, but congratulations for representing Canada at the Olympic stage. So as
Thanks.
you
I
reflect on
appreciate
your
that.
career and you know, went through a lot of adversities with injuries and you retired for a bit, and this eventually led you to becoming an Olympian. What did this mean to you, and what was this experience like?
It meant the world to me, honestly. It still does, and it still kind of blows my mind that I can still say that I've won a bronze medal at the Olympics for Team Canada. And just how lucky and fortunate we were that year with the NHL not going to be able to compete in the Olympics and have a chance to make that team and to go through that whole experience that year. And just it was so unreal. Like I'm so happy and thankful to, you know, Team Canada and the Olympic Committee and all these people that were allowed us to go and be there and represent our countries, because you know if the NHL is going, it's very tough for a lot of guys that are playing in Europe to even have a chance. They probably won't even, you know, be considered for that team, right? So that was huge for guys like us, like myself and other guys over in Europe and Russia to do that. It was very special.
What stands out most to you about that experience?
Just how awesome it was to see a bunch of guys who are kind of like all Canadians just playing all over the world, really, and then come together for these tournaments in this city and that city all over the place, and then actually to go to the Olympics and build like a team together, and the stuff we did along the way, and the, you know, the motivational speakers we had along the way, and the things we saw and did together and learned to grow as a group put together was the best part of the whole experience. And to do that with those other guys and the whole coaching staff and management was just a wonderful experience that I would obviously never forget. Yeah.
What is it like just putting on a Team Canada jersey and looking down and thinking, wow, like the country's on my shoulders or our team's shoulders?
It was a very proud moment, and the first time we actually stepped on the ice wearing the jersey for the first actual Olympic game was just almost kind of like mind-blowing. When I first stepped on the ice, it was just like you have to control your emotions a bit. It was a little like,
Yeah.
it was crazy. It was very overwhelming because you know that you have a lot of support behind you back in Canada from your friends and family and the people that love to watch hockey, right? Which Canada does love hockey. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd say it's a bit of an understatement if we're being honest.
Yeah. No
Yeah,
doubt.
but you know what? And I think it was a great opportunity, like you said, with the NHL not participating, for everyone to realize the amount of talent that's outside of the NHL as well. Like you
Yeah.
look at some of the players like on your team, you have yourself, you have guys like Wolski, Maxime Lapierre, a lot of former NHL players who are really good players, if we're being honest. And I think it's
Yeah.
just, yeah, sorry.
I was just agreeing with you. I was saying,
Oh,
oh yeah, we had
yeah.
a really good players and some former NHL players that were good NHL players too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess you haven't played any games this year. What do you see next for you when it comes to your hockey career? Do you plan on continuing to play hockey, or where's your head at with that?
That's a tough question right now, and that's what's been hard this last off season with you know, I don't have a contract right now. I had one with Kunlun, and we ended up, you know, negotiating a buyout. I've been just kind of relaxing at home. I've been trying to stay in shape, but yeah, it's hard because I'm not sure if I'm going to be transitioning to keep playing hockey or if I'm going to be doing some other things, you know, things that I've been working on to get into after hockey that I've I've been trying to set up, you know, to have, you know, some stuff to do and some work and business after hockey's done with, right? So,
right.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm not sure which direction I'm kind of split right now. So it's a hard one to completely give you an honest answer because I'm honestly not 100% sure which way it's going to go yet. So
we'll
see.
Well, what are some of your other interests?
Well, I do a little bit of financial investing and trading and stuff like that. And I also do some investments with, you know, commercial and real estate stuff with some of my former teammates and some other people as well. So kind of that stuff. So it's kind of what I've been getting into. So it's kind of interesting and stressful at the same time, too.
Yeah.
But it's good, though. Giving me something to do after hockey right now while I'm just kind of hanging out waiting here. So.
Right on. Well, Gilbert, I'm conscious of your time and I really appreciate you taking the time today to come on the podcast. If there's one key takeaway or lesson from your career that you would perhaps share with some youth hockey players, what would it be?
Well, you know, when I look back on my career and some things that I've learned, especially from my NHL experience, is that, you know, the NHL is the best league in the world. And if you really want to get there, it does take a lot. And, you know, I was a very good hockey player and, you know, things didn't always work out the best for me in my NHL career as, you know, as some people expected, let's say, but, you know, I've worked hard and I've stuck with it. And it's, that's one of the biggest things is sticking with what you want to do in your life and continuing to go through that and grow. And, you know, I've had a lot of ups and downs and negative experiences, but overall, like, it's given me a wonderful life, this game. And I still have, you know, so much love to hockey just for what it's given me and the experience in my life and the people I've met along the way. It's such a wonderful community to be a part of, really.
Mm, right on. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it. And you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It was great to have a little chat with you.
Of course, another big thank you goes out again to Gilbert Brulé for joining me for episode 43 of the Mental Dive podcast. Of course, if you aren't already, please do check me out. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Taylor Staden. That's at TaylorStaden. I post clips from the podcast and other pieces of content to help you maximize your mindset, to help you improve on that very, very important aspect of your performance. So if you want to learn more, do check me out. But you know what? I'm going to wrap it up. Everybody, thank you again for taking the time, and I'm looking forward to sharing another episode with you all soon. Have a good one.